Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope that everybody's having a wonderful, wonderful, peaceful, healthy day. It's a beautiful day, and again, I hope that you are enjoying it. First, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. As I always say, I love to, you know, give props for the people that take time out of their day to spend an hour or so with myself and whoever my special guest might be. If you've been following Health, Wealth, and Divine, then you know that today, this day of the month, every, what is it, third Thursday? second Thursday, I'm sorry. We have a very, very powerful, powerful guest with a powerful testimony, just a blessing to this planet. When you meet people that have really dedicated themselves to helping other people, and as a result of helping other people, then they actually are truly helping the planet. It's no small thing. And so for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, then I've got a treat for you. I'm going to introduce you to somebody special. And if you've been tuning in, then you know how special that this person is. That's why you're tuning in. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Again, stay tuned. I mean, I guarantee you, you're going to, by the end of the show, you're going to feel like you just ate a meal, a delicious meal, and you're going to want seconds. So I'll tell you how you can get seconds as well. Okay, but my special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's a holistic health and wellness expert and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. She inspires with a powerful, powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She now motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. She's a dynamic speaker and an educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle Magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. Now, I want to bring special emphasis to the fact that Dr. Lathan holds a PhD, okay, and a BS in computer science, okay? So I just want everybody to understand that when you're listening to Dr. Lathan today, you're listening to a very, very educated woman, okay? So we're going to be talking about today. Today's show is going to be focused on how to prevent and reverse cervical cancer, and I can't wait to get into this interview because I know it's going to be very, very informative. Dr. Lathan, I bow to you, my sister. Thank you so much for being my guest again today. It's always a pleasure every time I have an opportunity to speak with you and share you with my listeners. Welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Thank you. Thank you. Always happy to be here and talk with you. You really have a really great show.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. Thank you so much. It's truly, you bring so much to this broadcast. I mean, you bring so much energy, so much information, so much passion, you know, so much truth that, again, the listeners are very, very much blessed to have an opportunity to hear this information. It's life-saving. And, you know, again, with the passion that you bring to the discussion, you know, born out of your own personal experience with plant-based nutrition, then, I mean, it's just hands down. I mean, some people actually told me, you know, they listen to the show and they love Dr. Lathan, so I'm just happy to share you with other people as well. Doctor, again, today, as I've advertised, we're going to be talking about how to prevent and reverse cervical cancer, but, again, I always like to start the show with your very, very powerful testimony, because, again, so many people, they need to hear why they're listening to somebody, especially if you're talking about being able to actually reverse a condition such as cervical cancer and prevent it. They need to know, well, why am I listening to this person? What makes this person an expert? You know, so if you don't mind, could you share your testimony as to what brought you to this holistic health path?
Sure. Always happy to share. It was, thyroid cancer that really got me on the path to holistic nutrition and holistic health and helping other people find natural solutions to their problems. And also, it's not just finding natural solutions. In many cases, it's finding solutions, period. I work with a lot of people who have gone through natural means and methods to find cures to various illnesses, including cancer, but just hasn't worked. It's not until they try, a natural approach and tap into the power of the body that they're able to alleviate certain things. So for me, it was thyroid cancer back in 2007. I was diagnosed with that, and I was really, surprised because I thought I was pretty healthy person in general. So once I did get that news, I decided that I was going to look at natural treatment for it. I just, didn't have a lot to go on other than I heard of other people who had done it, and I figured if they can do it, why not me? So I just started from ground zero at researching how the body cures cancer, what causes it, how to get rid of it, what causes thyroid cancer and things like that, so that if there was something I was doing in lifestyle or nutritionally that I was doing that either caused it or contributes to it, I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing that. And then I started focusing in on how to detox the body and heal the body and boost the immune system, because basically the body heals through the mechanism of the immune system being able to do its job. I mean, it's there to repair damage that is done. It's there to take, handle toxins that shouldn't be there. That's what the immune system is built for. It works. It's just that when it gets overwhelmed and doesn't get the support it needs to function properly, it can't handle the carcinogens and everything else, and that's when we, have symptoms of cancer and metastasis and all these other things. So I started focusing on how to build up the immune system, how to heal the body, how to really eat in a way that nourishes the body and supports the immune system, and then not just support it, but then boost the immune system, because we can do that too. Our immune system works at the level of the nutrients that we give it. So if we give it very poor nutrients, we get very poor results from the immune system. When we give it great stuff, we get great results. When we give it the best stuff, you get the best results. And in my case, I was able to reverse the cancer through diet, through supplementation, through juicing, through exercise, meditation, visualization, all of that. And which is why I decided to adopt a holistic approach to what I do in terms of coaching people, because I realize that it is more than just the food and the supplements. It is a lifestyle change. And when you look at true natural medicine like Ayurvedic medicine and others, they deal with everything. They deal with your emotional state, what the illness is trying to tell you, what you need to do to improve in your life. All of that is connected. And so I use all those approaches, from simple prayer to the visualization and all of that. So I think that makes it more effective, because once we realize that our thoughts also significantly affect our body chemistry and our immune system, then that's when we know we have to take a holistic approach. So through all of those changes, that was like a year-long process, and I think part of that reason that it took that time, a little bit over a year, was so that I could learn that it's more than just what I'm eating, although that is the primary part and the easiest place to start, but it was the entire the entire process that let me, you know, change into what I needed to change into so that I could help people more effectively. So long story short, you know, I adopted a plant-based diet that was really high in greens and superfoods and things that heal, and it the immune system was able to do what it needed to do to get rid of the cancer. So now that's my mission, to help people not heal from just cancer but from various ailments using a natural approach.
So when you made that lifestyle change, how was it done in stages, or was it just cold turkey? I mean, because anytime somebody gets the news from the doctor that they have cancer, any type of cancer, certainly that's going to get your attention. That's a wake-up call. If you were asleep before you got that report, you woke up as soon as you got it. So was it just all-out drastic? I mean, just, okay, I'm letting go of the meat, the dairy, the sugar, the, you know, all of that. I'm going to start meditating. I'm going to increase my prayer life. I'm going to start exercising more. I mean, was it, you know, just all of a sudden, just let me do all of this now, or was it done in stages? Because I think that for a lot of people, that is what the hindrance is for a lot of people when it comes to deciding to whether or not they want to make this a whole lifestyle change, because your life is your life. I mean, your whole lifestyle change is, I mean, it's every area of your life that needs to be changed, you know. And for some people, they might feel like, okay, well, you know, I can meditate, but, you know, I don't know about letting go of the meat, or, you know, I can exercise, but go to chicken, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, well, sure. Yeah, it wasn't all at once, because I didn't know everything all at once, because I was doing this research on my own. So I incorporated things as I learned. So, you know, based on the research, everything started with nutrition. So, yeah, it was pretty much cold turkey for me once I realized what I should and shouldn't be eating. I went to a treatment center that is a lifestyle. They call it a lifestyle treatment center, where they basically show you how to eat to live. So when I went there and learned a lot in, you know, in a short 2.5 weeks, when I came back, everything was different. It was done. So there was no more white sugar. There was no more microwaving. There was no more dairy products and all of that. It was completely gone. No more cheese that I thought that, you know, I couldn't give up. So it was a done deal, because I want to live. So there was like, tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. I was willing to give that up. And I think initially the thought was, wow, this might be difficult. But at the same time, being exposed to foods that don't contain those products and realizing that there's a lot to choose from help the process along. So yeah, the nutritional piece was pretty much a done deal once I realized this is what you have to do. The next step, you know, was exercise, which was pretty easy because I was already doing that. So it was just keeping that going. The pieces that took a little bit longer were, you know, the meditation piece and just learned, you know, really letting go of stress and learning how to manage that in a way that isn't harmful, and learning how to avoid it altogether, you know, turning stressful situations into non-stressful situations. That took a little bit longer. And then the visualization was kind of the last piece of that. You know, we had a talk. We did a call about that, you know, a lot of stigma, especially based on your religious background that you might have to these type of things. You already have this preconceived notion of what it is. So for me, it took a little bit longer to kind of ease into that. But once I did, it was really, really powerful, because it was really just a learning curve of understanding how the body and the mind work together. So once, because it's all a system, and we tend to separate everything, that, you know, that our thoughts are just thoughts, and that, you know, has nothing to do with being sick or not being sick, but we know that's not true because we have something called the placebo effect that works, is very, very powerful. So if you don't believe that the mind and body are strongly connected, you know, take a look at all the studies where people actually get better because they think they're taking a medication that happens to be nothing. So we know, just based on the fact that there is something called that science recognizes as a placebo effect, tells you right there that the mind is extremely powerful and that it can actually heal itself if it believes that it is taking something that will heal itself. So once you start understanding the scientific basis for those things and then understanding alkalinity and acidity in the body and how the mind can change that quite drastically from one minute to the next, then it becomes an easier proposition. So it was a process, one thing at a time. And sometimes for it, depending on where you are in your, you know, knowledge and education of these things, if you're ready to jump all in, everything at once, go for it. But it's also okay to take it step by step. You don't want to take too long. Sometimes everything needs to be drastic, you know, depending on the aggressiveness of your cancer. We don't have time to sit around and say, I'm going to take a month to give up chicken. You need to be like, look, do you want to live or you want to eat chicken? You choose. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it has to be, you have to make those what seem to be difficult decisions. And what I find is that for people who are having struggles with making that type of decision, it's really based on a lack of information and education. Because once you know what I know about those products, meat and dairy products and sugar and all these terrible things that we eat, then you wouldn't want to eat it and you wouldn't hold it as dear. So usually what I start when I have someone who's resistant like that, then I'm like, okay, you need to watch a few movies, you need to read some books, you need to educate yourself so that you're coming from a whole different perspective on how the body works.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. I told you, I mean, we're just getting into the interview, and I've been fed already, and I know this meal's going to continue. Again, to everybody, if you're new to the show, if you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone, and it'll let me know that you'd like to come on, and then we can bring you on. Dr. Lathan, again, as the people who know, that have tuned in know, that this show, today's show, is about how to prevent and reverse cervical cancer. We know that cancer shows up in many different areas in people. I mean, you have women who deal with breast cancer, cervical cancer, you know, uterine cancer, all kinds of different cancers, men with prostate cancer and different cancers. You know, you got cancer of the colon and cancer all over the place manifesting in different parts of the body. Just so that we can get an understanding, because this one word, cancer, seems to be showing up in different parts of people. What is cancer? And then we can narrow it down and talk specifically about preventing and reversing cervical cancer. Dr. Lathan, you still there?
Sorry, I think I'm muted, unfortunately. So I was saying, yes, cancer is really when cells are going rogue, basically meaning that cells are not behaving as they should and that they begin to grow out of control. So that's the bottom line of what cancer is. It's when cells replicate and grow out of control, you know, out of the pattern in which they're supposed to. They're no longer following the DNA process and information that we were given initially. It's following something totally different. So that's why I say it's kind of going rogue. It's off pattern, off instruction, starts doing its own thing. And so that growth can be slow or it can be extremely fast.
So what causes it to manifest in different areas? One person might have colon cancer. Somebody else might have, you know, cancer of the liver or the spleen, or, you know, why is it showing up in different places in different people?
It really depends. You know, sometimes it can be, you know, we all have cancer cells in our body because of environment, because of food that we take and the air we breathe. So generally the body encapsulates that, handles it, and it never gets out of control. You know, when you have trauma to certain areas of the body, it makes it more susceptible to this DNA damage or this out-of-control growth. So it can be something as simple as, you know, repeated hits to a part of your body that can cause, make it more susceptible to cancer. Or a traumatic event to a certain part of your body can cause, make it more susceptible. Then it can also be the type of food you're eating that has a certain hormone load that makes certain sex organs more susceptible to cancer, like breast cancers and cervical cancers and, you know, prostate cancers are all more linked to the amount of certain hormones like estrogen and other things that are in the body. So when you're eating things that have a lot more estrogen or you're producing more, then that makes those parts of the body more susceptible to cancer. Then based on the type of foods you're eating, it can make other areas of your body, you know, more susceptible, like the colon. Or, you know, if there's, or if you're constantly, you know, your stomach's constantly overly acidic or something like that, you're more susceptible to maybe stomach cancer. So it really depends on what's going on in your body as to where it's going to show up. Some people are predisposed to certain types of, you know, DNA damage or things like that. So when they do get cancer, it shows up in a certain pattern that's showed up in their family. So, you know, it's really different for everyone. So many things contribute to the type of cancers, you know, how old you are, whether you've given birth or not, whether you breastfed or not, what type of diet you have, whether you exercised or not, you know. And then you have people who break all those rules, who eat ham hocks, smoke and drink and live to 95. So it really, which isn't the norm, but you have that. It's because everybody's body is different. And so where the cancer shows up really is dependent on you, your lifestyle, your mental state, everything is very unique. So, I mean, there are some things that will, you know, lead to more common cancers, obviously, like smoking. You're going to be more susceptible to lung cancer, so, or esophageal cancer. So it really depends. So there's no single formula to say, this is why people get this type of cancer. But we do know there is a common link to a lot of cancers in terms of the dietary input that either helps or hurts the process.
You know, somebody had a question. I don't know if they pressed one. Let me see. If you are still there and you have a question for Dr. Lathan, please press one and I can bring you on right now. Let me go to this call and see if there's somebody else want to talk. Okay. There we go. Okay. You're on the air with Dr. Ruby Lathan. Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Hello. Am I on?
You're on.
You're on.
Well, hello there, young lady.
I
know you've been missing my call.
I recognize this voice. How are you?
I just want to say I'm sorry I didn't get in touch with you, but I fully intend to. I had a nice conversation with Juwanza, and I agree 100%. But I want to put in a little information because of my age and my background about foods. I agree with you wholeheartedly that we have to be very careful. We have to do the juicing, and I've recovered for two kinds of cancer. One was prostate, and I lost a kidney. So I got desperate, like you must have gotten desperate, to look for smoothies and look for certain things to put in my body, and I healed. Also, I healed, number one, first spiritually and emotionally. And so the common sense comes into the picture. And then God is in charge always, and I start seeking those things and those people that do not vex the spirit. And I come with a strong spirit, which comes from God. So I agree with you wholeheartedly about that. But at my age, I remember when I was a child, I went down south. So they sent me and my cousins down to Georgia in the red clay, and we were responsible for raising the watermelons, slopping the hogs, feeding the mules, catching the chickens, picking the tomatoes, and all of that was good for us. Because I think the reason why is that there was no chemicals in the earth or the fruits that we ate. So it's not so it's in my old thought that there's not available now here and us in the cities. But if we did organic stuff, which is getting rarer and rarer, it doesn't matter what we eat, as long as we eat with sensible, those experiences have raised some larger-than-life men and women who lived to old ages eating pork, bacon, fats, tomatoes, watermelons, corn, because there was no chemicals in them. So it's called, that's them, but it's, of course, for you and me, we don't have that available to us in Washington or California. Maybe a little bit more in California. So I have a farm next door, which was, seems to be saving my life. On top of which, I have successfully done the spiritual thing and the emotional thing. And as a result, that's I'm married to the earth. So I agree with you 100%, and I will call you for your input because I'm a student in what you've done, but we've both survived cancer. But I think it's more the business of food that's given us cancer. And the business of food is like, for example, our kids, young ladies in the neighborhood are menstruating at 9 years old. And why? Because they had food growth hormones, because the farmers need to make more money by the weight of the cattle, the chickens, and the milk. So they put growth hormones in there, and the children eat that. And when they eat that, they start developing too fast. They become obese, and they become menstruating at 8, 9, and 10 years old, and they don't know what's happening, and all of a sudden we have baby parents.
Right.
So I say direct key is money and business rather than our health choices. We don't have the choices of healthy foods. So on top of what you've done, I think maybe we have to pay attention, even in the hood, to plant our own foods, to have our own chickens, to go back to what we used to do, back almost to Africa and in the South. And during slavery and after slavery, we became very strong and educated people because we thought we didn't have nothing, but what we had was organic pork, organic chicken, organic milk, organic water. Anything we could eat had no chemicals in it. And the body said, thank you. Now, you and I, we travel. We can't go to hotels anywhere to order anything. We can't go to airports, because all the food, it's got chemicals in it. And I think it's that chemical reaction in the body that's causing our cancer. Maybe it's conscious because we have too many people on the planet, somebody's made a decision to say. But our children are obese because of it. And we die too early.
You know, let me add, I want to jump in and ask a question because I remember speaking with somebody once about, I was sharing with them about the dangers of eating pork. And this guy's response to me was that, well, it's not the pork, it's the salt. You know what I mean? It's the salt that you put on the pork. You know what I mean?
But even the salt, even the salt wasn't effective. It didn't give us high blood pressure down in the 30s and the 40s.
But even when you take some, for example, let's say how the animals are slaughtered, you know, even if, let's say, a pig or a cow or a chicken, whatever, was raised, and they were raised, quote, organically, end quote, and they were, you know, I guess, murdered humanely, you know.
Yeah.
You know, with the fear that goes into, you know, at the time of death or whatever, if I'm not mistaken, doctor, you can correct me, that a certain chemical or a hormone is released into the bloodstream. And so when you clean the chicken, the hog, or the cow, that chemical or hormone is still present. Is that correct, doc?
It is. It is. And I wholeheartedly get what's been said here. And, you know, I agree with the whole chemical aspect of it. It has, you know, really, really damaged our bodies, our environment, and everything from top to bottom. And you're absolutely right in kind of bringing up the fact that, you know, with young girls, you know, starting with their cycles at 8, 9, or 10, that actually leads into our topic, is they're more susceptible to cervical cancer and others. And that is because of the hormone consumption. So having too much as well as the chemical consumption. So what I have seen is that studies show, sure, that, you know, if you eat clean meat, if you eat the best available, and they were raised the way they used to be raised back when my grandmother had a farm, that is better. It still didn't erase the fact that it overall raised your risk for cancers and other things. And I think when we lived completely different back in the day, where we were cultivating our own food and eating mostly fruits, vegetables, fresh grains, and things like that, and not eating the volume of meat and dairy products that we're
Amen.
Now seem normal,
Amen.
That the body was maybe better able to combat that now. But the
yeah.
way that we have been conditioned, how we eat meat in such large volumes, and then we're not even eating the right type,
right.
you know, our body's not able to compensate for that anymore.
Yeah,
so,
and we're eating amounts that used to give us fuel when we worked on the farm. We're eating the same
right.
amount, but we're not on a farm anymore.
Right, we're going to the office. We need a tenth of that now because we're
yes,
sitting
ma'am.
Around all day. So when we're
Absolutely.
Not getting the vitamin D, which is
yeah,
healing,
yeah.
we're not getting all of those fresh vegetables, we're not doing the things that would heal the body.
Yeah, I agree 100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in our day and age, the risk is so high, and it's very, you know, it's very difficult for the body to compensate. And, you know, the studies are showing that even when with the toxins that we take in, that when you're eating primarily plant-based, your body is able to ward off cancers and other things that
Absolutely.
It's not able to ward off when you're eating more of a meat-based diet. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really a combination. You're absolutely right. You know, the food industry isn't about nutrition. It's only about money. And so
yeah.
we, in turn, are getting garbage food. So we have to
yeah. And we become obese and we die too young.
Absolutely.
And so I remember
By the way, everybody,
doing,
I just want to let everybody know that Lou Gossett Jr. is joining the conversation. Everybody, if you didn't recognize people that didn't know.
I just
know
want you to know, Doctor, that I can't do it without you. So I promise to get to you.
Absolutely.
And,
I look forward to that because we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember one day,
but
and I'll let
you
go back to your
something?
Thing. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No, you wanted to say something else?
I remember when I was 12 years old, there was a rage of rheumatic fever and polio.
Mm-hmm.
I got rheumatic fever and my temperature went up above 103. And I was raised by my great-grandmother, who was a slave, and she was able to do that with the chickens in the South. Now, she's up in the North, and me and her cousins are sweating. We have rheumatic fever. And she went to the backyard, because she had a little farm out there, and she got some yam. And she cut the yam up. I don't know what she did in the kitchen with it, but she put it on my feet and wrapped it in wax paper. In the morning, that yam looked like feces, and I had no temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That inflammation that comes probably way back from the continent of Africa was held until a certain time. We don't know how to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the key of our power and our DNA. So with you, I'd like to do that research and maybe restore that to all people. The ability
Absolutely.
Of, yeah, okay,
yeah,
so I promise to call you. I'm going to listen to the rest of your show and get on
okay.
with what I have to do. And Jumanza will explain what I'm into.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Excellent.
Bob. I
bless you
appreciate
both, my brother.
God bless you, man. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
for
I'm going to get back to work. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
So hang on line. You're going to listen to the rest of the show, right? Okay. Dr. Ruby, so
yeah.
cervical cancer. Okay, now
mm-hmm.
we're getting ready to get into the meat. The real topic of the discussion today is how to prevent and reverse cervical cancer. So when... You broke down what cancer is, so that abnormal growth has centralized in the woman's cervix and is, you know, causing problems. What are some of the symptoms of cervical cancer? So, because there may be somebody out there that might be experiencing it and, you know, just not really recognizing what the symptoms are. What are some of the symptoms for a woman to be aware of?
Well, the most common symptom is bleeding, vaginal bleeding that happens in between your cycles, menstrual cycles. So so if you have, if that is happening regularly, then that can be a sign. It can also be a sign of other things, too, but that is one of the most common. The other is if you have bleeding, like, after intercourse or regularly, that's another sign. So that's really going to be one. And then having very heavy cycles than in the past, or mm-hmm. having cycles or bleeding after menopause. And then the other signs are, like, pelvic pain or either pain during sex. So those are going to be the top symptoms that you will first, find that start happening. And most women have regular pap smears, which is really important because that's how you can kind of rule that out pretty quickly, whether you have that or not.
Some of the symptoms that you mentioned, could also be associated with other conditions. I mean, you know, the heavy bleeding.
They can, absolutely. I mean, when you go down that list, it sounds a lot like symptoms of fibroids, which we talked about. Those are some of the actual very same symptoms. Usually with fibroids, there isn't any bleeding after after menopause, so that would be one main difference. So if there's bleeding after menopause, then that's something you want to get checked pretty quickly. But, yeah, all of those symptoms other than that one are also symptoms of fibroids as well. So that's why, you know, it's important to, if you're having those symptoms, to figure out what's going on. And the easiest way is just having a pap smear, which can tell you within a day or so, you know, whether you have abnormal cell growth there or not. And that's something we women do usually every year or 2 years. I think now they've made it to have one every 3 years. So,
can we talk about the pap smear for a moment? Because there's been some debate as to whether or not that's healthy or not. I've actually seen some articles talking about that it wasn't healthy, that, you know, for whatever reason that it causes a lot of stress, you know, because, first of all, let's say for a woman, let's say it's that time. She's getting ready to go get her pap smear, okay? She might be stressed out just at the thought of going to get the pap smear, and then more stress after she has the test done and is waiting for the results. Then, of course, even more stress if she finds out that she, in fact, does have cervical cancer. But, you know, even beyond the stress of those stresses, but what about the safety? Again, because there were some articles basically stating that that it wasn't really the safest way to go about getting that information, whether or not a woman had cervical cancer or not. And if abnormal cells were the barometer by which they were gauging whether or not a woman had cervical cancer by the presence of abnormal cells, some of the articles were saying that abnormal cells can be brought on by other things such as puberty, hormonal imbalance, you know, the use of tampons, feminine hygiene products, perfumes. You know, they were saying that all of these things can actually cause abnormal cells as well. And so if these abnormal cells were caused by, you know, these other things, then there could be a misdiagnosis.
Right, right. Well, mostly what it was, and you're absolutely right, but the main issue is that that testing yearly, which is what it was not helping identify more cancer than testing every 3 years. So they weren't seeing any correlation in testing so often. I mean, there is a quite amount of, you know, angst of having to, you know, have the procedure done. It's not necessarily painful, but it's not the most comfortable thing to have to do either. So they learned that there really wasn't a lot of, you know, real benefit to doing it. And then, as you mentioned, you know, there can be a lot of reasons for abnormal cells, and then we start doing things like biopsies that can, you know, cause more harm, or having the false positives that cause a little more harm than not. So that was really the main reason. Generally, a pap smear isn't that invasive. I mean, it's invasive because, you know, you're there, you have to put your legs up and all that. But in terms of just the swab that they take, it's not terribly invasive. It's when you start having false positives and then you take it a step further and doing, you know, biopsies and things like that, that can cause a lot of harm, as well as just the worry, the trauma that goes along with having to do that. Is the problem. And so I think a lot of it, they say, you know, was more brought on by, you know, industry wanting to, you know, make more money by having this yearly test, and then the follow-on tests that come along with that was being, you know, was a problem. And so I tend to agree with the three-year guideline that seems to, is going to find, if the results are in fact true, that, you know, having the test done every 3 years is effective as having it once a year, then it makes a lot more sense. And so generally I've seen most doctors now switch to the three-year screening as opposed to yearly. So, you know, there's always a lot going on at work behind the scenes with these guidelines that we don't know, and they're often not driven by real science, but driven by other issues like money. So I do recommend you have one, especially if you have any of these symptoms that we talked about. You should have one probably sooner rather than later to rule that out, and then you could at the same time, your doctor would be able to identify other things that might be causing that. So so it's, you know, it's important to have a good doctor or gynecologist to help identify these things. So the more we know about our body, the more we know, the better. But what you don't want to do is, because you have these symptoms, just assume you have cervical cancer, because those things can be symptoms of a lot of things. So you just have to start from the bottom and rule that one out first, and move on to figure out what the problem is. And if that is the problem, then, you know, we have to deal with that. So
this, you mentioned, we talked about briefly biopsies. It's clear that you're not a fan of biopsies. You know, I'm not a fan of biopsies. But, you know, a lot of allopathic doctors are going to suggest that their patient have that if, in fact, they do a pap smear and it's, you know, they think they see some abnormal cells. Well, let's investigate this a bit further. We need to take a biopsy. Now, the patient hearing that doesn't know that biopsies could be dangerous or, you know, harmful in any way. They just assume that that's just part of the process. They may have had girlfriends that have gone through the same thing and had biopsies, and they just assume that, okay, this is the procedure. This is what they do. This is how they find out. So what advice would you give to a woman who has been given that option to not just an option, but even a suggestion, a strong suggestion that, hey, you need to have a biopsy. We don't know what this is, and we need to check it out, and, you know, you need to have a biopsy. What are her alternatives to, you know, having that? Is there another procedure that they can do that can get them the result that they need without having to do the biopsy?
One you could do is come back and have another pap smear, which again isn't going to cause much problem or irritation. So to make sure that the first result was not a false positive, or that it was accurate, or sometimes you can't really get a good reading on it, or it looks suspicious, you probably just want to have the pap smear done again in a few months. And then from there, you know, take the next step. If it again is showing abnormal cells, then, you know, we might have to act accordingly. If you have...
Call Dr. Ruby.
Right. But it's always good to know exactly what you're dealing with. I mean, I don't like biopsies unless they're absolutely necessary. So, you know, if at that point you have enough information that you think, okay, I'm going to handle this naturally regardless, then fine. You know, you don't have to do that. You go and do what you're going to do and then get retested later for and make sure that we're going in the right direction. So it's really you know, not having the knee-jerk reaction right away and just always following, you know, just researching your options. Because, you know, as I was saying, a lot of times this yearly testing was really driven by pharmaceuticals companies to kind of scare people into having these vaccines, particularly the Gardasil vaccine, to scare parents into getting that for their children and saying that this will protect you against HPV, the human papillomavirus, and which really doesn't work because it only, you know, protects through certain strains of the virus, and it really hasn't been shown effective to really stop cancer. But if you are fearful because you're having these, you know, pap smears every year and it's being brought in your head, you might have cancer, you might have cancer, you might have cancer, then you're more likely to get this vaccine that you think will protect you from it, even though the vaccine has numerous disgusting elements in it that are very harmful to health and don't really give you any real protection. So that's number one, to know that everything you hear from a doctor is often, they're just part of the game, the pawns in the game as well. And they don't, sometimes they know, sometimes they don't know. So number one, you have to educate yourself. Two, you know, don't be shy to request having the test redone or coming back in a few months and having it done again. So that's number one, and never be bullied or pressured into taking these ridiculous vaccines that can oftentimes increase your risk of cervical cancer as opposed to reducing it. And if you're concerned, you want to take a natural approach of reducing your risk of cancer as opposed to a pharmaceutical approach.
You know, with Doc, can we talk about HPV for a moment? Because, you know, from what I was reading, they said that HPV infection appears to be involved in more than 90% of the cases of cervical cancer, although most people who have had HPV infection don't develop cervical cancer. But those who do, in 90% of those women, HPV infection was present.
Right. Well, it is a virus that kind of leads up to, it doesn't in all cases cause cancer, but it is a very strong factor in it. So usually there, you want to look at how do we, you know, avoid that. You know, one of the ways is reducing or sticking to one sexual partner, because that is one of the ways that it's a sexually transmitted infection. So that's one way that people get it. So you want to, you know, be aware of that and be careful with that. So it's just like any other STD. So that's one of the reasons it's so common, because of the way that it's transmitted. I mean, there are other ways that you get it, but that's the most common. So I would say with that, it's just like any other issue. Let's deal with how do we avoid HPV, and then how do we treat that with so that it does not then, you know, turn into cancer. So if you have HPV, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get cancer, but it means we need to deal with the HPV so that it doesn't become cancer.
Well, let's talk about the role of the diet. And, you know, this is obviously a holistic health show, and, you know, we know that diet plays a major part in reversing any condition. If you're going to reverse it, then like you mentioned, if you got it, and we want to give hope to people that, like Dr. Latham says, if you got it, you can unget it. So what role would diet play in helping somebody who the doctors have stated, listen, we found, you know, let's say they had the biopsy done, or what, however, they, it's conclusive that they, in fact, have cervical cancer, and they want to go the holistic route. You know, they don't want to take the allopathic medicine for fear of side effects. What role would diet play in that, and, you know, where would they start with that?
Sure. So there's a lot. There's a big role that diet plays with any cancer, and in especially along with cervical cancer. So number one, we want to eat a diet that is low in sugar, because sugar helps feed cancer. So you want more of a low glycemic diet. So anytime you're consuming lots of white sugar in the form of sweets, or you're consuming sugar in the form of processed breads, crackers, things like that, that are, you know, processed wheat products that have been highly refined, then you're going to raise your glycemic index. So you want to eat a diet that is low on the glycemic index. So lots of low glycemic fruits like berries are going to be really good, apples, pears. So that's going to be number one. The second is avoiding excess protein, because animal protein is another thing that feeds cancer because of the hormones that are in it. So if you're in a situation where you have the possibility of cancer or have cancer, you're going to want to reduce that dramatically or avoid it and eat more plant proteins, which don't contribute to your hormone load. So that's a really important thing. We usually want to reduce estrogens in our diet, and you also want to reduce estrogens that kind of hang out in excess fat. So if you have lots of excess fat, you want to lose that fat, because along with that, you start losing the excess hormones, and it makes it a lot easier for your body to get in balance. So you want to reduce that. You want to eat a lot of leafy greens that are going to provide a number of nutrients that really help build and boost the immune system. You're going to want to eat lots of things like, I mentioned the berries earlier, raspberries, strawberries, blackberries, things like that, as well as walnuts, and some nuts like pecans and walnuts have and a certain type of acid. I think it's, I was forgetting how to pronounce this, ellagic acid, that actually help kill cancer cells, and they found to be really good at doing that, inhibiting the cell overgrowth, so it stops it from growing out of control. And you find that a lot in the berries that I just mentioned, even in pomegranates, in walnuts, pecans, and you want to eat those nuts in the raw form. And so the type of food that I'm eating, if you just eat those on a regular basis, then you don't have to switch to an anti-cancer diet, because your cancer is an anti, your diet is an anti-cancer diet all the time. So you want to regularly be eating berries and nuts and things like that that are going to give you your protein, that but also going to have continuous cancer-fighting compounds. One of the really good natural compounds that's been found to help fight cancer is curcumin. Curcumin, which is it's part of turmeric. So the regular turmeric that we put on food, that curcumin is the active part of that that actually helps fight cervical cancer particularly, but also cancer cells in general. So that's something, you know, if you're doing like smoothies on a regular basis, you can put like an inch of turmeric or half an inch in your smoothie every day, and you're already having an anti-cancer drink. If you have cancer, particularly cervical cancer, you'll want to take curcumin in greater amounts in a capsule form that has also the bioprene, which is really black pepper, that allows the body to use it effectively. So that's one thing that's very natural and has been shown to actually have a significant effect on cancer cells. And then you're going to want to do things that just boost the immune system, things like onions and garlic that have those and other bitter herbs, as we call them, that really help clean the body and boost the immune system and kill viruses and bacteria at the same time. So you're going to want to eat quite a bit of those, finding ways to get those in cooked and raw, lots of raw garlic. I know when I was going through the cancer recovery process, I ate 8 cloves of garlic a day. So I found really creative ways to get it in raw and steamed so that I could really help my body, you know, heal. So juicing is always great. One of the things, juices that I took was something like wheatgrass. You only need about 2 ounces of that because it's very high in chlorophyll and a lot of other compounds that boost the immune system as well as cleanse the blood. So having 2 ounces of that a day is like eating a couple pounds of vegetables. So it really helps the body heal quickly. And that's what you want. So you want to take down the load of heavy foods from your body when you're dealing with cancer and replace that with mostly or all nourishing foods. And so getting rid of the processed foods isn't something that people with cervical cancer need to do, but it's anybody. We all need to stop eating garbage food so that we don't get ourselves into a situation where we have to reverse it. And so those are the really top things for cervical cancer. You know, everything after that is going to really follow a general cancer protocol, which is going to be you know, other compounds that help take toxins out of the body and things that are going to just continue to boost the immune system from, you know, concentrated mushrooms to supplements like IP6. But definitely curcumin should be part of that protocol. And definitely there's something you can get, black raspberry supplement that is really shown to help fight cancers as well. So there are a lot of things, but I would recommend, you know, working with someone who's done it before, who's helped someone with this process, whether it's a naturopath or a health coach or something, so that you don't get overwhelmed with taking too many things. Because the great thing about natural remedies is that there is a plethora of them. I mean, there's so many. It's really about choosing the ones that are most effective for you, your body type, and the type of cancer that you have. And so it takes a little bit to wade through all of that. And so there are so many options. You know, I've had people say, I drank noni juice and that helped me heal. And that's great. That's a great supplement. You know, I do aloe vera juice all the time. So there's a lot of different ways. So it's really about, you know, first, stopping putting in things that are harming the body. Two, start putting in nourishing foods that are going to help you heal. Three, it's going to start taking foods and supplements that boost the immune system and keep it at a very high level. So that's really what you're doing. It's like that three-pronged approach. Stop, add, and then add again. And that is what's going to get your body to heal. And then, just as our guest on earlier, Louis Gossett mentioned, the spiritual piece is immensely important, because you can't be in fear, you can't be in angst about it. You have to have that spiritual peace and calm and sense of determination that, hey, I'm in a battle right now and I'm going to win, and that's it. And you have to, you know, get into that mindset. And what allows you to get into that mindset is having that peace and having that faith and having, you know, belief and knowledge of knowing that your body can heal and will heal if you give it what it needs.
Wow. I knew this show was going to be powerful. Now, let me just say this. As far as Baba Lou, you know, listen, he's gone now. Look, don't be eating no meat. Don't eat no meat. No more.
Right.
So
I mean, I understand where he's coming from, and in some regards, you know, there is a level of truth to it. However, you know, there is good, better, and best. And so when
right.
you look at a study that just did come out in JAMA that talked about, you know, how meat impacts our longevity, it did show that the type of meat did make a difference. So if you were eating highly processed meat, your risk of death went much higher than if you were eating unprocessed, quote-unquote, clean meat, regularly raised, you know, meat. However, that was still much higher than if you ate no meat. So like I'm saying, I agree with him to a point. Yes, it is better. Absolutely. You will be doing yourself a favor if you're eating organic, grass-fed, you know, animals the way they were meant to be, where they were raised in the old days. However, you're still raising your level of risk. significantly, and we can't afford to do that. And then we want to look a little bit more deeper at the spiritual level of that. You know, no animal is happy to give its life for your burger. No animal wants to die. And so when you think about the process of killing in order for you to have, you know, chicken on your plate, it doesn't make a lot of sense because you are ingesting that fearful animal that was killed, whether you want to think it was humanely or not. I mean, death is death. So So when we look at a spiritual aspect, it has shown that we actually are able to tap in to a deeper spiritual level when we're not consuming animal products, that we are able to tap into the earth and all the frequencies that are there when we're eating a plant-based and cleaner diet. When we're eating, also it shows that when you're not taking pharmaceutical drugs and medications, you're able to tap into the frequencies much better. So it is all of those things. So it's really about eating and living as clean as possible, and then finding the delicious ways to do that. You know, there are so many alternatives, and that was my barrier in the beginning when I thought about going to a completely plant-based diet. I was just thinking of all the things I'd have to give up, not knowing that there were incredible replacements for that. And that kind of brings us to, I know we're coming to an end, but it brings us to the two classes that I have coming up about finding those replacements, where I'll be teaching people how to make this food we're talking about, the nuts, grains, seeds, beans, and all that taste incredibly good. And once you realize that you can still have healthy versions of your favorites, then it's not such a big lift to say, okay, I'm going to give that up. And so I do have two classes coming up in D.C. So if you're in the D.C. area on September 25th, this one is my Just for Men cooking class. We did this a couple of months ago, and it went really well because we need to keep our men, our brothers, our uncles, our dads, and all these, you know, our spouses healthy. And a lot of times men don't want to show up at a cooking class with a bunch of women. So we did a Just for Men cooking class. It went really great. So I'm doing it again. So if you know any men that want to learn how to cook healthy, want to live longer, want to have fun doing it, you should send them to the class on September 25th. And then 2 weeks later, on October 9th, we have our Easy Vegan cooking class, where it's open to men and women, where we'll be doing additional recipes and showing you the basics of vegan cooking and really giving you some great recipes that will get you going. Whether you've been a vegan for a long time or a vegetarian or you're brand new, you're going to get some great recipes, some unique recipes that aren't just vegetarian, but they're healthy. They take really healthy ingredients and combine them in a way that tastes great. So I'm excited about those classes, and people can go to my website to find them at rubylathan.com.
And that's going to be from 3 to 5:30 p.m. on both of those days, right? September, those are Sundays. Again,
they
September
are.
The 25th and October mm-hmm. the 9th.
Ninth.
October the 9th,
mm-hmm.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, from 3 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. So mark your calendars. Make it a point to get out there. Again, you know, I really appreciate you, Dr. Lathan, even just for the men-only class. Again, just to even, you know, say what you did concerning the fact that, you know, we need to make sure that our brothers and our uncles and our fathers and the men in our lives are just healthy, you know. And
uh-huh.
if
uh-huh.
it's known that they don't want to come out and, you know, be in a class full of women cooking, you know, then for you to even come up with the idea to, you know, do it just for men, that's, you know, that's awesome. So I want to thank you for that. And if you're not in the D.C. area and you just, for whatever reason, you can't make it, you're, you know, just somewhere else in the world, definitely you can check out the Veggie Chest, okay? That is a program that Dr. Ruby has started, and you can check it out on YouTube, where she actually teaches, demonstrates how you can actually prepare certain things. Very short, you know, it's not, you know, going to take a lot of your time, and you can actually find new, delicious, fun ways to cook, prepare your meals that, as she says, will keep you coming back. Doc, I want to thank, is there anything else you wanted to, how can they reach you? I'm sure that there are people that have heard this show today and they're like, oh my God, I really need to talk to Dr. Lathan. You are a holistic wellness coach. You actually coach people. So if somebody either had cervical cancer or HPV or, you know, anything that would need your expertise, they can actually contact you and you can work with them and put together a plan for them, correct?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. That is what I do. So they can reach me either through my website, which is rubylathan.com, and that's RubyLathon.com. And they can also get the recipes and videos there, or you can call me, and you can email me through the website as well, or you can call me at 202-709-7829.
Dr. Lathan, this show, we got a lot in. This was lot of information. A lot of information was given today, and I thank you so much for just your ongoing work in helping people. And again, I just want to make it clear that although this show was about how to prevent and reverse cervical cancer, it doesn't matter what type of cancer, if you're suffering from cancer, that you may have, Dr. Lathan can help you, can put together something for you that can help you to, you know, get rid of it. And when we say get rid of, we mean get rid of, not your cancer goes into remission. I'm talking about get rid of, like you never had it. Okay, so definitely give her a call. Check out her website, you know, rubylathan.com. Brothers, if you're in the D.C. area, make sure that you, you know, get information about how you can attend the men's only class on the 25th of September and October the 9th. This is open for everybody. The easy vegan cooking class, definitely make sure that you get information on how you can attend that as well. Dr. Lathan, is there anything that we did not cover? I know we don't have much time, but any final words for our listeners today concerning reversing cervical cancer and preventing it or anything else? I mean, again, it's not just about cancer. If you had a stroke, I mean, if you, you know, you got gout, arthritis, whatever the case is, you need to contact Dr. Lathan. Today's show just happened to be on cervical cancer. I want you to scroll down the archives. We've got shows on everything. I mean, you name it. I have to actually now think about what have we not covered as far as holistic health, you know, to come up with a topic so we can discuss it, because we've talked about everything. So just all you have to do is just scroll down the archives and you'll see Dr. Lathan's name and you'll see that we've talked about, you name it. I mean, just we would go longer if I had to, you know, tell you every show that we did. So go down the archives. We've got shows on holistic health. We've got shows on your divinity, your spirituality. We've got shows on entrepreneurship. So definitely scroll down the archives, and definitely there'll be something there for you. Dr. Lathan, any parting words for our listeners today?
I would just say, you know, keep an open mind and be willing to do what it takes to live healthy, because it's worth it. And, you know, it's not about deprivation of food. It's about finding the foods that replace those things, so that when we're eating, we're enjoying it on every level, that we're enjoying how it tastes in our mouth, and our body's enjoying it as it's going down because it's nourishing us as well. And that's what we really want, is to have that win-win in our lifestyle completely, so that we're in harmony with the earth, we're in harmony with God's plan for our body and our life, so that we can live that vibrant life and not be stuck on having to combat illnesses, but really so that we're living our best life.
Everybody, I told you at the beginning of the show that this show was going to be special, and it always is, you know. And so whenever I'm talking to Dr. Lathan, I know that I'm going to be fed. Whenever I'm talking to Dr. Lathan, I know that you're going to be fed. So, again, I want to thank you so much for your time. If you happen to know of somebody that has cervical cancer, then please share this link with them. This actually could save their life. And even if you have not been diagnosed with having cervical cancer, but you see that you do have the symptoms, and we've mentioned that the symptoms could be associated with a number of different things, then all you have to do is just act like you do have it. You know what I mean? Act like, just change your diet. You know, start doing the things that Dr. Lathan recommended. There's no downside, because even if you say, oh, well, that's not me, that show doesn't apply to me, I don't have cervical cancer, nor do I have those symptoms. Let's say if you're a guy and you say, well, no, I'm not bleeding or anything like that, no, that doesn't apply to me. But you can still benefit from the information that Dr. Lathan shared. There's no downside to eating healthy. There's no downside to letting go of meat, dairy, sugar, and all of the other things that cause disease. You can only get healthier. So if the cervical cancer piece wasn't for you, it could be for somebody you know. And if it wasn't a cancer thing for you, you can always eat better. You can always take it to another level. And so, please, you didn't hear this information by accident. Your spirit brought you to it. I mean, you know this is a holistic health show, and you tuned in. So you got what you came for, and I know that the food was delicious. So, again, you can come back for more. Next month, Dr. Lathan will be back on second Thursday of the month. Make sure you tune in and spread the word. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much, my sister. I will be in touch, as always. Awesome, awesome show. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Always happy to join.
Okay, talk to you soon. Everybody, that Dr. Ruby Lathan. Make sure you check her out, The Veggie Chest on YouTube. That's The Veggie Chest. Veggie as in short for vegetable chest, okay? Definitely check it out. Because when you're trying to make this transition, It's not always easy if you don't have everything around you. You know what I mean? Somebody to show you how to do it, somebody to hold your hand. It's a process. So we try to make it easy for you by bringing on guests, bringing on people that have done it. I'm talking about people that have cured cancer. Dr. Lathan cured herself of cancer. Brother Coy Dunstan, who we just had on Tuesday, cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon. He's a regular. Dr. Ted Watkins, MD, is a regular. He was a surgeon and a good surgeon, and God called him out of that and said, listen, it's time for you to do something even better. I got a better way for you to help and heal people. And so now he teaches people about the benefits of a holistic lifestyle, and he's a regular on the show. Okay, we've got shows with, as a matter of fact, you want to talk about spirituality for a moment? Make sure you tune in tomorrow from 7 to 8 p.m. My special guest is going to be Orwa, Dr. H.R. in Comet. That's Orwa Hehimetura in Comet. We're talking about the seven divisions of the spirit. We're going to be on part three tomorrow, so you definitely don't want to miss that. That's going to be from 7 to 8 p.m. And, again, scroll down the archives. Oh, my God. We've got shows with Dr. Rahul Nefer Amen. We've got shows with Hekshem Suharu Shechem Mayem Neter. We've got shows with Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah. We've got shows with, I mean, you name it. The list goes on and on and on and on. Just powerful, powerful healers and teachers. And these shows are created just for you. So please spread the word. Again, remember, my name is Jawan Zahir. Who am I? I am the one who, in giving, receives more. Thank you so much for your time. Peace.